JC Corcoran Podcast.
Ted Bundy got lots of dates. I wonder what I'm doing wrong. I don't pretend to understand women's little quirks. Just one thing I know for sure: chicks dig jerks. Yeah. Well, if I meet one more single mom whose true love is up and gone, tells me on her trailer porch about that man still carries a torch. Sure, he came home drunk each night, beat the kids and her in a fight. But man, she loves him so, it's so hard to let him go. Oh. Well, I don't pretend to understand women's little quirks. Just one thing I know for sure: chicks dig jerks. Well, I'm sure there's some out there can relate, particularly young men without a date. See some jerk, some fine, fine babe go driving away. Ow. Is that a new bruise you got on you? What does it say, that he loves you? Sure, he beats you, but afterwards he cries, oh, baby, I could die. Honey, I don't think that's nothing to be proud of. I think it's called alcoholism. I don't think you should move away. Stay with him till you're in your grave. Tree and true love, that's not enough, I know for sure. You need someone to throw you through the door. Well, I don't pretend to understand women's little quirks. Just one thing I know for sure: chicks dig jerks. Oh. Chicks dig jerks, so true. Tell you, man, be mean to a man, they'll never leave you then. 'Cause chicks dig jerks. Just ignore them, act like they're not there. Man, you're gonna be pulling chicks out of your hair. They love that. Like you don't care. Oh, look at them everywhere. They come running. Woo! Tired of being a good guy. Such a lonely life. I'm gonna be a jerk. Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna step on lots of toes. Woo! Girl's gonna go crazy for that guy. Oh, baby, I'm gonna act like I don't even know you. Not gonna return one of your calls. Oh, I hear her. She's already at the door, man. She's intrigued by my indifference. Woo, I'm a jerk and it's working out.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. 232 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. How you doing? Welcome to JCOnTheLine.com. Well, I would like to welcome you to a Chris Rock, Will Smith free zone. That's right. I have absolutely no plans to bring that up at all on the podcast here today. And it'll be a welcome relief, a brief respite, as they say. There's plenty else going on, including weather, as we post the podcast at 7 a.m. Central Time. The big stuff is just starting to move into St. Louis County and St. Louis City, and it is going to rain, and probably late this afternoon, kaboom, big showers and thunderstorms, though we are not in the bullseye. The bullseye is well to the south. You go from the boot heel of Missouri all the way to the Gulf Coast. All of those, well, somebody called me yesterday, somebody called them the slave states, and I will make reference to that a little bit later on here in the podcast. But in St. Louis, we'll get hit with a lot of rain during the day today, and then the big stuff probably later on. Temperatures just like all over the place. Although, as I look at the 7-day forecast, it's basically mid to upper 60s starting on Saturday and going all the way through Wednesday. Wednesday, it'll be raining, they say. Don't forget, opening day is on Thursday. And that also means JC's home opener extravaganza right here at JCOnTheLine.com. We have some new stuff to play for you. I try to freshen it every year. It's a lot of the same stuff because people like the same stuff. There are just things that people would be really, really disappointed if I didn't play. So all that stuff that you hear every year is going to be back, but we always try to put in some new stuff. And I've got one thing in particular that I really think you're going to like. I'll even tell you a little bit about what it is. You know, people always ask questions of professional athletes about how they got started. That's really true of anything. Politics, definitely, entertainment, but even in sports, it's like, all right, a lot of kids play Little League and Babe Ruth and, you know, the old Corey League and stuff like that. But when did you sort of get the idea that, hey, wait a minute, I'm better than anybody else, not only on this field, but also in this entire league? Maybe I'm the best player in my town. When did you realize that? And when did you realize, hey, I could make it all the way to the major leagues? I'm that good. Everybody always asks those questions. What I did is I went around and I asked a bunch of people, when did you know it was time to hang it up? And in particular, I talked to people, and I don't want to tease too much of it, but there's a lot of big names and a lot of names that you'll recognize. Managers and general managers whose job it is to have to tell a player it's over. That's interesting, and you're going to hear that on Thursday's edition of the J.C. Corcoran Home Opener Extravaganza right here at jcontheline.com. Pretty proud of this. And again, for those of you who are new listeners to me, the version of this show we did in 1998 is actually in the archives at the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, and I'll post that letter next Thursday or something like that, too, on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Anyhow, big weather day here today. Predicting long track tornadoes. Those are the ones that scare people, and that's in the deep south. But again, we're not going to get any of that. We might get some really, really big storms. We will probably get some really, really big storms later, but they're not really anticipating tornadoes or anything that's going to be devastating on that level. Straight line winds, you know, 50 miles an hour, that'll get your attention. Chris Wallace throws his father under the bus. I was also surprised to see in the comments section so many people admitting to the fact that they didn't know that Chris Wallace's father was Mike Wallace of 60 Minutes. So Chris Wallace has got this new show and this new CNN thing that is streaming now, just started yesterday. And Colbert, you know, brings up the elephant in the room. You know, you're a journalist, and yet every poll that you see indicates that people trust journalists. It's somewhere down near the bottom of the list, right down there near used car salesman. And Colbert said something to him about this. And Chris Wallace blames people like his father. Let's throw dad under the bus. How weird was that? If you didn't see it, he basically said that when news organizations and TV stations and networks realized that you could actually make money with news, you know, because up until, I don't know, somewhere in the 80s, I guess you would say, news was considered a public service. It wasn't expected to get ratings. Oh, you know, if you were number one, you'd brag about it and you'd obviously put that on your rate card when you went out to sell commercials for your news operation. But it wasn't, considered to be one of those things that was supposed to be never intended to be a money-making operation. It was like, this is journalism. We're providing a public service. That's what you're supposed to be doing here. But then Chris Wallace says, then 60 Minutes came along and, it started making money. It started making big money because of how big the audience was. And then everybody started noticing, hey, wait a minute, there's gold in the Nar Hills. I remember working at Channel 5 back in the mid-80s, and that was about the time that all this stuff started happening. I remember that the morning news, even back to the 70s, I remember living in Fort Wayne. Television went off the air all night. They'd play the national anthem after the Today Tomorrow show with Tom Snyder, and then the TV was gone. And it would come back on at, 5 or 6 o'clock, and it would be always some guy sitting there who looked like it was his first day on television. He was usually an older guy, and they did a lot of farm reports, and they would have kids bring some heifer into the studio because that was his entry in the the 4-H club, and their lead story would usually be about the price of pork bellies going up or going down dramatically. That's what was on in the morning, and then it started changing. I remember Art Holliday was a sportscaster. He was like a weekend sportscaster at Channel 5, and they made him into a morning guy with Jennifer Blum, and the rest is history. And they really started making money, and television stations all over the country started doing it, to the point now, well, I've been saying this for years, what morning television is doing now is a version of morning radio. It's really morning radio on television. You're putting out a lot of information, a lot of weather, a lot of traffic, but you're also ripping on each other and you're making jokes and everybody's laughing, like John Pertzborn in the morning news zoo. But in the words of Prince via Cyndi Lauper, money changes everything. I'm liking this Albert Pujols thing only slightly better than I did a day or two ago. It turns out last year he was hitting over 400 off of left-handers. So I don't know what you do with Albert the rest of the time, but there's a left-hander up there and you need a DH or you need a pinch hitter. Having a guy that can come off the bench and hits over 400 off left-handed pitching, that's nice. It's only $2.5 million. That's not going to break the bank or anything like that. So sure. But this sentiment, maybe the Cardinal organization realized, hey, we didn't sign any big free agents, we didn't bring any new Nolan Arenados in or anything like that. It really is a two-team race when it comes down to it. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are already out of it. Pittsburgh stinks. Cincinnati's selling off players. The Cubs are rebuilding. And so now you're down basically to a two-team division. If you're Bill DeWitt, you're thinking to yourself, well, we should be able to win with what we have, but we still need something to attract attention to ourselves and to put some more butts in the seats. And here's Albert. That's what I think is going on. It's basically a misdirection play. I know that's a football term, but it still works in sports. We're choosing sentimentality over, perhaps, the one loss record. And then at the end of the year, you're going to have what is bound to be a very emotional and sentimental couple of months there, certainly the month of September, when you get Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina, and Albert Pujols all walking off the field together next September. If you don't make the playoffs, are fans still pleased? And then they sort of forget about it and say, yeah, well, okay, we didn't win. We're not going to the playoffs. But look at this out there. Look at these three guys walking off into the sunset. I don't know. The Nielsen organization has been sold. And it's not been sold to an organization or a company that is expected to do anything but make it even less efficient than it is now. How does that affect you? And what the fuck is Nielsen? All right. Nielsen is the company that takes the television and the radio ratings. People get jobs and people lose jobs based on ratings. People get bonus money or don't get bonus money because of ratings. People lose their jobs, people get jobs, as we said. It's really bad in the television news industry because I know people who would walk in to work when I was at Channel 4, and they would walk into work, and before they even take off their coat or go to their desk, they would run straight to this wall where they would post the overnight ratings. And people would go to that wall and, you know, put their finger on it and go across and like, okay, did we do it? Oh, look at this. We got an 18 here and all this. We went up and then, oh, we went down here. This is how they live their lives. It's enough to drive you crazy. It's bad enough in radio where you get the ratings once a month. You know, back up until 2009, we got ratings four times a year. That was it. Four times a year. Now you get them once a month. And like I said, this is no way to live your life. You can't live your life newscast to newscast. And a lot of it has to do with your lead in. When Channel 5, you know, NBC had that must see TV stuff in the 80s where you had Cheers and everything like that. Oh, you know, LA Law, those shows were huge. And it really, really helped out, for example, Channel 5's 10 o'clock newscast. You could combine the ratings of all the other television stations in town. It still didn't equal what Channel 5 was getting ratings-wise at 10 o'clock back in the 1980s. The lead-in was huge. But also, Channel 5's news. They really brought some bright people in when I was there. And for some reason, they hired me. And they knew that would get them a lot of free publicity because I was always on the radio talking about what we were doing at Channel 5 News. All that stuff helps. And there were some incredibly talented, like, consultants and people, you know, news directors and assistant news directors and creative people. And Channel 5 was just miles ahead of their competitors. Well, anyhow, back to this sale of Nielsen. You know, when somebody buys something, they rarely come along and make it better these days. Used to be, yeah, you'd make it better. You buy something and spruce it up and, all right, let's go. Let's make this better. That's not how we do things now. It's like we buy stuff up. When I say we, I'm talking about big corporations, buy things up, and then they start laying people off, lean and mean, you know, that kind of crap. It's already, from the get-go, a very, very flawed system that accounts for the ratings for television and radio, especially radio. I could do 2 hours on how inefficient the current ratings system is. And I will only tell you, when they brought the new system in, if you ever hear anybody making a reference to PPM, radio people will talk about PPM. And radio people talk in code all the time. People, if you're ever listening to the radio and you hear somebody say, you know, and Bob is running the board, and you're like, running the board, it sounds like a gambling term. And they never explain what that is. I always say Bob is running the controls. Okay, that you can understand because it makes sense. Oh, somebody's got to push the buttons and turn the dials and, you know, do that sort of stuff and answer the phone. That's running the controls. But what they do in radio, you call that the control board. That's what it's called. So you say Bob is running the board. But people say that on the radio and it's like people are driving around going, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. What does running the board mean? So they do that all the time. If you ever hear anybody refer to PPM, that is the sort of nickname, I guess you would say, for the rating system. Personal people meters. But I cannot get into this discussion today. I'll end up wasting the rest of the podcast and I'll end up hating myself at the end of it. But more instability in the rating system and in the company that runs the ratings means more bizarre stuff for you as the listener, because you're like, hey, what happened to my favorite guy on the radio? What'd you do with him? Well, we fired him because in July he had a 7, and then all of a sudden he had a 3.5, and we let him go. Oh, and by the way, get this. He wanted to be paid money. Can you believe that? Oh, you're going to hate me for this. You're going to hate me for this. I just told you at the beginning that this was going to be a Will Smith, Chris Rock free zone. Just one thing to play for you. David Letterman was doing some stuff. He was recording. I think he was recording some stuff for Ellen. He appeared on Ellen's show the other day. And here's David Letterman's take on the whole thing. He's sitting here on camera. You can't see this, obviously, with Barbara Gaines, who used to be his producer, one of his many producers. But here's Dave.
I want to talk a little bit about Will Smith and Chris Rock at the Academy Awards. And people will say, well, Dave, what do you know about this? And I will just remind you that I actually hosted the Academy Awards. It was in
1995.
The 40s?
Oh, sorry, 40s.
And all I can say, and say what you will, read what you will, think what you will about my performance the night I hosted the Academy Awards, but, and here's my point, no one got hit. No one was hit that night that I hosted. That's all I have to say. God bless America. God bless the Academy Awards. Good night. Barbara?
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Dave still makes me laugh. Still makes me laugh. Speaking of Dave, you might recall, I guess it was, what, 5 or 6 years ago when Dave did his final show on network TV. Foo Fighters was his musical guest, and they ran My Hero, live performance of My Hero, against the backdrop of a montage of, oh, God, it must have been 7 or 8 minutes of highlights of Dave's 30-plus years on television. Foo Fighters have canceled their upcoming shows following the death of their drummer, Taylor Hawkins. They said, this, we just can't do this right now. The NFL finally changing its overtime rules so that each team is guaranteed one possession, but it's only during postseason. If the game is still tied after each team gets the ball, it becomes sudden death. I guess this was a compromise because one side wanted it, the other side didn't. So they said, how about just in the playoffs? And they said, fine already. Are you feeding us today? Where's the food? Tonight there is a 2020 special on ABC, 24 months that changed the world, how COVID has created a lasting change in our lives. Thanks, ABC. I'm trying to forget about it, and you're bringing it all back. Late night, Jimmy Fallon's got Hasan Minhaj, Jimmy Kimmel, Chris Pine, Elle Fanning with Stephen Colbert, James Corden has David Duchovny, and Seth Meyers, Andy Cohen, and Jeff Foxworthy. I'm not sure that I understand this whole vinyl thing. Oh, I know, the compression that is used with the computerized, digitized version of all these great songs, especially the ones from the 60s and 70s. You know, you compress them the way they do so that you can get them on a computer. It used to be on a CD. And people say, no, the true recording comes out only on vinyl. That's the only way you can really hear these things. Maybe reel to reel would be the other way. But the convenience factor overshadows any of this stuff because most people are going to take the convenience. The sound on 8-tracks was terrible, and you'd have, you know, songs changing tracks right in the middle, and that sucked. And then, you know, right around 1980 is when the Walkman came out, and so everybody's listening to the hiss off of their cassettes because there was an awful lot of hiss on cassette recordings. And then, what was it, 82, I think it was, kaboom, here comes CDs. Right, Casey?
You know, when it comes to technology, improvements never end. That seems to be the natural order of things. But lately, in the field of recording, they may have come up with the last link in the chain of evolution. We've gone from Edison's cylinder to the 78 RPM disc to 33s, 45s, open reel tape to cartridges and cassettes. And now, we're up to the compact audio disc. It's an entire album, but it's as thin as a wafer and much smaller than a 45 single. 4.7 inches to be exact, and no grooves. The digital information on the disc is read by a laser beam. That means if there are any fingerprints and dust on the record, all the laser picks up is the information which is decoded as music, exactly the same as the musician recorded it. The LaserDisc, which began test marketing recently, has got a lot of people very excited. But don't worry about your LPs becoming obsolete overnight. The players for these compact audio discs are currently selling for close to $1,000. And the discs themselves cost $17 a piece. It'll take a while. But if it lives up to its promise, it could be the ultimate way to listen to music. And that's my report on what may or may not be the wave of the future. The Laser Red Compact Digital Audio Disc.
Casey, always on the cutting edge right there. It blew his mind when they handed him an iPod and said, you see this little thing here? 1,000 songs. Casey's head just went, boom. Anyhow, somebody put together a list of these things. I guess it's data from users on the music database called DiscCogs. DiscCogs. Anyhow, top 10. Elvis at number 10. AC/DC at 9. I wouldn't have guessed this. The Smiths doing almost 1 million of vinyl records last year. Nirvana. Stones at 6. Queen at 5. Zeppelin. Bowie. Pink Floyd at 2. Number 1. Beatles. Well, I guess you can't beat the combination of gunpowder and controversy as an aphrodisiac. Hilaria Baldwin is pregnant with baby number 7 with Alec Baldwin. Somebody turn the hose on those two. Jeff Bridges, great actor, good guy, been battling lymphoma. He's had a lot of treatment, and now he says he's actually feeling very, very good. Yesterday, on my Facebook page, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, I put up the trailer for Top Gun Maverick. It hit yesterday, and I put it up immediately. The movie, because of COVID, has been delayed an entire year. Finally hits theaters on May 27th. Now, does it look exciting? Does it look like great cinematography? You know, all the things that made us love Top Gun, the original one back in the 80s? Absolutely. It also looks like they just took the same script and put in different guys. It looks exactly like the original. They just moved a bunch of guys around. I'll be surprised if you don't come away with the same feeling after watching this thing. And again, I posted it. The trailer just went up yesterday, and we've got it at JC on the line, and we've got it on my Facebook page, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Today, I'll put up the trailer for Ozark Season 4 Part 2. That just hit the internet this morning. The Tin Man's oil can from The Wizard of Oz just sold for $250,000, which I'm a little surprised by. I would have thought it would go for like five times that much. Here is a triple bill your aunt is going to love. Rick Springfield, Men at Work, John Waite hitting the road together. And Elton has announced his final North American tour dates. Closest he's coming to St. Louis is Phoenix. All right, birthdays today. I love her. I love her. I love her. Norah Jones, 43. Mark Consuelos, who is Kelly Ripa's other half. They've been married for 100 years. He's 51 today. Celine Dion, 54. Donna DeRico from Baywatch, 54. Subject of the most boring, dull, unexciting sex tape of all time. Piers Morgan, that floating turd, 57. Tracy Chapman won the Grammy. Never was heard from again. 58 today. MC Hammer is 60. Paul Reiser, who was everywhere for about 10 years there. And now, when's the last time you saw him, right? 66 today. Eric Clapton, 77. Oh, I'm not going to start. I had so much appreciation for his work. And I loved the guy. And I got a chance to interview him a couple of times. You know, I've met him. But the stuff that's coming out about him lately, it's just ugly. It's just ugliness. 77 today. Warren Beatty, 85. John Astin, who I'll admit I didn't even know was still alive. Gomez from the Addams Family, 92. Peter Marshall, who I also did not know was still alive, the host of the original Hollywood Squares, is 96 today. That's Peter Marshall. Real name, Peter Lecoq. Back in the day, he changed the name for show business. Now, you'd keep that name. Oh, and by the way, Bob Gibson used to talk about Pete Lecoq because Peter Marshall had a son who played for the Cubs, and he played for a couple of organizations. And Bob Gibson was out on the mound some Sunday afternoon. Temperature was about 170. Humidity was just killing him. And Pete Lecoq hit, I think it was a grand slam. I think it was a game winner. It might have been a grand slam. And that's when Bob Gibson said, he went back to the bench and said, I just gave up a fucking home run to some guy named Pete Lecoq. That's it. And that was when he decided to retire. Peter Marshall, by the way, today, 96. Reagan was shot on this date 41 years ago, back in 1981. And 164 years ago, on this date, back in 1858, a guy by the name of Hyman Lippmann. You make up your own jokes for Hyman Lippmann. Somehow those two names seem to go together. I don't know. Anyhow, he looked at a pencil and said, this is bullshit. You need an eraser on the other end of this pencil. And so that's what he did. He started manufacturing pencils with an eraser. And apparently the guy who invented the pencil did not think of adding an eraser. You know why? Because men think they never make mistakes. That's why. And Hyman said, yes, we do. And we need something to erase this. By the way, this is a good trivia question. The average pencil could write a continuous line 35 miles long. And it would still be more interesting than anything written by Jackie Collins. And with that, We say that's it. J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. 232 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock, absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. We archive everything. Just click around and you'll find it. Email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. You might want to put a roll of quarters in your pocket today so you get blown off the face of the earth. Talking about 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts later on this afternoon during this line of storms that's going to go through. Could end up going severe. Just keep your eye on the sky and know what's going on. We'll talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.